we visually build an Adar?
There's not the general. First of all, there is a connection between Adar and Nisan and the coming of the redemption. Definitely, there's definitely a big connection there. In fact, Megillas Esther, there's a hidden undercurrent of the Beit HaMikdash throughout the whole first parak. Many, many hidden allusions. Yeah, the Gemara talks already about how Achashverosh was eating from the kelim in the Beit HaMikdash. He took the Shlomo Melech's chair and he tried to rebuild it. And they were counting 70 years from the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. So definitely a big, big, big undercurrent of Beit HaMikdash consciousness in the Purim story. But I was going for something simpler. In this week's Parsha, it says, Vasuli Mikdash Meshachanti B'tochan. It's another good shot, and you should build the Beit HaMikdash. So the question is, should we build the Beit HaMikdash? Meaning to say, Vepashtus, the mitzvah, we should do it.
Go right down there.
Start building.
Right.
In fact, the Sefer Mitzvos and the Chinuch both only bring down mitzvahs that are the Dori Doris for every generation. They both bring down this mitzvah. Mitzvah number 20, there's a mitzvah to build the Beit HaMikdash. Vasuli Mikdash, you should build it. And now this isn't just a little detail. Can you guess how many mitzvahs of the 613 mitzvahs are connected to this idea of having a Beit HaMikdash? Go for it again.
Or you do Hilchos Beis Bechira.
If you go Hilchos Beis Bechira, you will find that 202 mitzvahs.
Yeah, that's like I said, it's probably a high number.
Almost a third of the mitzvahs in the Torah.
Are we including the Kalim, whatever?
Yeah.
Okay, fine.
But that are mentioned in the Sefer Mitzvahs have to do with a Beis HaMikdash. 202.
Yeah. 200 mitzvahs that I can't do. Yeah. Or like they're being done or whatever.
Exactly.
That's ridiculous.
Means a third of your...
We're missing a third of them today.
We're missing a third of them.
Oh my God.
And the question is, maybe not. Maybe we have to do those third. Maybe we should build it. What's holding us back? What's really holding us back? It's a pretty important question. It's not a little detail. Kavah. So, what's really holding us back? So first of all, there's a little bit of technical issues. What's the technical thing holding us back from building the Beis HaMikdash?
This?
There's a big mosque there. And there's some political issues with, you know, building the Beis HaMikdash. Some people in the world wouldn't be so happy. Might cause a war. So, there's definitely...
There were enough wars. Maybe!
So that's a good political question, whether... Maybe it's a mitzvah and that's more important and God will take care of it, or maybe not. God wants us to do the mitzvahs when they're feasible. And that's one question. Besides for the political question, there is also technical questions, which we're not exactly sure about many of the details about the Beis HaMikdash. So for example, we don't exactly know 100% where the Mizbeach is. We guess, we think we know where the Mizbeach was, where Akedah Yitzchak was. The Mizbeach has to be exactly where it was, and we can't take a guess on that one. So that's an issue.
Like where to place it.
Yeah, physically where the Mizbeach was.
Rambam doesn't... Like,
yeah, they talk about it, but exactly where now it is, it's not 100%. Although, archaeologically, it's, let's say, 95%. Oh, but not 100%.
That's a problem. Okay.
That's a problem. Besides for that, there are bigger problems. We don't exactly know the measurements of the Beis HaMikdash. Now, Sefer Yecheskel talks about the measurements of the Beis HaMikdash. And the Rambam tries to figure it out based on Midos. We're trying to figure it out. But in terms of 100%, we don't really know. It's very unclear. Besides for that, we don't really know who's a Kohen. We think we know who's a Kohen. We have Masorah who's a Kohen. But for Beis HaMikdash, we need 100% know. Or maybe we 100% need to know. We need to know who's the Kohen Gadol. And on and on and on. Now, Baruch Hashem, we're trying to figure this stuff out. Machon Mikdash is trying to figure out the Kelim.
That's really interesting.
Yeah, they're mamish trying to figure out the details. But Lamaisa, not 100%. We don't. Some of the details, still, we don't have figured out. So there's the mosque there, and then there's all the questions. So that's the technical reasons. Besides for that, there's another meta issue, which is, whose job is it to build the Beis HaMikdash? Now, I was asking, when I said that we should build the Beis HaMikdash, I'm already making an assumption. The assumption is that the obligation to build the Beis HaMikdash is upon us, the Jewish people, that it's our job to build the Beis HaMikdash. We'll see that that is one shita, important shita. But there's another shita, that whose job is it to build the Beis HaMikdash? Hashem. It's not that we're going to physically build the Beis HaMikdash, but there already is a spiritual Beis HaMikdash in Shemayim, L'chaim, and Hashem already built it. It's there.
But Hashem didn't build... We built the first two Beis HaMikdash.
That's a good point. And, we built the first two Beis HaMikdash, but the third Beis HaMikdash was going to last forever, Bezrat Hashem.
Also, that's God's, it can never be destroyed.
There is a Shechina, that there is a tradition, there's one opinion, that this will be built by God.
Whose opinion is this?
Oh, who is of this opinion? Now, it's based on several Gemarot. Gemara in Sukkah, Daf Mem Aleph. The Gemara in Baba Kama, which says that just like God destroyed the Beis HaMikdash with fire, He's going to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash with fire. He's going to be the one who rebuilds it. And another Gemara, blanking, Rosh Hashanah. Yeah. The Gemara there, and all of these Gemaras seem on Bepashas to indicate that Hashem is going to be the one. Hashem Mikdash Konani. God's going to be the one who builds the Beis HaMikdash. This is famous, called the Shitat Rashi. Even though it's really not Rashi, only Rashi's Shita, but he's the most famous person. So the way we remember is we say, Rashi holds that there's a Beis HaMikdash up in Shemayim that's going to come down. My wife also really likes this opinion. She's very much in this camp. Of the Rashi opinion that we're not going to build it. It's going to come down from the heavens. We're not going to physically build it. Okay?
I'm going to fall from the sky.
The Rashi.
Isn't the whole thing based on the Gemara and Rambam? There's no mitzvah to actually build the Beis HaMikdash. It's actually the Beis HaMikdash has to be built. The mitzvah is that the Beis HaMikdash should be built.
Interesting. I haven't heard that shita, but it could be. Okay. Oh. Definitely. I have a lot to learn on this topic. So, good question. Yeah.
I feel like there's a concept like the third Beis HaMikdash is the final one. Like, there's no more exiles. Like, this is our last one. You know what I'm saying? Like, did that concept exist before the second temple was destroyed? Or did people believe, we finally come back?
Another good question. I'm not 100% sure. I'm pretty sure people thought that happened. That concept came after the third Beis HaMikdash, at least for the masses. After the second Beis HaMikdash. I mean, in the time of the second Beis HaMikdash, I don't know if they had that conception of there being a third Beis HaMikdash. I think they thought it wasn't going to be destroyed. But another good question. Anyways, Shita Rashi is not really Rashi, to be clear. Tosas also says that. The Ritva says that. And the Zohar. That's pretty important. The Kabbalistic tradition, at least one Kabbalistic tradition, also clearly says that the Beis HaMikdash is going to be falling from the heavens. So these are not lightweight. Sometimes people make fun of that opinion and say, that's for kindergarten. The Beis HaMikdash is going to fall from the heaven. That's what your mommy taught you in kindergarten. But really, that's not what's going to happen. Right? But truth is, some big hitters do have that opinion. I will say that in my old apartment, we could see Har Bayit from our window. And my wife would literally wake up every morning and look up like Yoni just did and be like, is it here yet? No. Shucks. She'd try to find out if the Beis HaMikdash is falling from the heavens. So my wife is in the Shita of the Zohar, of Rashi, of Tosos, the Ritva, and you know who? No, and several other great rabbis based on several Gemarot. Okay, so she's in good company. So the answer is, should we be building the Beis HaMikdash? The answer is no. God's going to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash according to those opinions. However, got to keep things interesting. There is another opinion. Okay, the other opinion is most famously the person we'll put on the cover page, even though it's the opinion of many rabbis. Is the, anybody know?
Rambam.
Exactly. The Rambam Hilchos Beis Bechira, and in Hilchos Malachim, many times talks about the concept that we, human beings, are going to be the ones who are going to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. And he has some historical precedent for, after all, like John was saying, who built the first two Bate Mikdashim? Us, human beings. Human beings built it, and therefore the Rambam says it's a mitzvah, and if it's a mitzvah, that means we have, how could it be a mitzvah if we're just going to sit back and wait till God does it? So therefore the Rambam posits that we are going to be the ones who rebuild the Beit HaMikdash. And he also has a Gemara near Yerushalmi that seems to support him. It seems to be a machlokas already in Gemarot, and the Rambam believes that we are going to be the ones who are going to rebuild the Beit HaMikdash. The Rambam's not alone in that camp. Some other big hitters, if you want to go in in this topic, Ema Banim Smecha, Rav Techtal. I'm sure you guys have heard of the book about he was in the Holocaust, that he was originally anti-Zionist, and then became a big Zionist, and became an actively bringing the Gula type of guy. So he brings many, many rabbis who say that we have to rebuild the Beit HaMikdash. The Radak, the Or HaChaim, HaKadosh in this week's Parsha, talks about how there's a mitzvah that we are obligated to do, even though he's a little bit of a Kabbalist, so that's interesting. I believe the Tikkuni Zohar, there's a lot of big rabbis who are in the Rambam camp that man is, it's upon men to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, okay? So far we got a Machlokis, Rashi versus Rambam. Is God, is Beis HaMikdash going to fall from heavens, or are we going to be the ones rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash? Okay? Now you might ask, wait a second, but we, like I said before, we don't know the details of, we don't have it all figured out. Perhaps the Rambam would posit, just like in the second Beis HaMikdash, we didn't have all the details. We started the process. We tried to figure it out, Ezra and Nehemiah, and then later we mishapetzed it. We fixed it up based on what made sense. Perhaps the Rambam believes that we're going to start the process, and that Hashem is going to figure it out at the end of the day for us. There are many who suggest that the way I've broken it down here, Rashi versus Rambam, the way that many people say it, is actually not true. That really, they're both, what do we always like to do when we have a machlokas? We try to put them together. So how do we make a way that both Rambam and Rashi are emes? Rashi says it's from God, and Rambam who says that it's man who's going to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. How could we do that?
Yeah.
Rav Mashur says on Vaharenu Bevinyano Vesamchenu Besikuno that Vaharenu Bevinyano seems like we're seeing the binyan, mm-hmm. and then we're being samech and the tikkun. But he says true simcha comes out of things that you put in work for yourself.
100%.
Like anything that you really work hard in, that's what you can take true simcha in.
True that.
So how can we take two true simcha in the Beis HaMikdash if it just is, you know,
Hashem's just gonna knock
it us and it's just all, you know, perfectly done and ready for us. So he says on Vahari Nibinyani with Sam Khinabasikuno that we're gonna see it come down and it's mamash been given to us. But we're going to be samech on the tikkun. We're going to do like the little like gold ornaments on top, bring in all the kalim. We do like the little...
Our nadava.
Yeah, we beautify it. We do the tikkunim.
Beautiful.
And that's like maybe it could be a joint of the two that, you know, that is coming from Hashem, but yet we're also involved in the building in a certain part of it.
Beautiful. Send me that mukkah. That's a little bit of a different angle than I was going to suggest, but I love that. That's beautiful idea. So the shekinah is going to come from up down, and then we're going to fix it up. The Lubavitcher Rebbe says almost the opposite. Same thing, but opposite. Lubavitcher Rebbe says, no, what's going to happen is we're going to start the building of the Beis HaMikdash, and then Hashem's going to see how much effort we've done to bring down the Beis HaMikdash, and he's going to fix it up and show us how to do it right. A similar answer, but a different way of it happening. A third approach, others suggest, I think there's a Tshuva Maritz, I'm forgetting the names of who says it, is that there's actually two paths. The Maharam Sheikh. The Maharam Sheikh says like this. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says that there are two ways to get the Mashiach. There's the fast way, and then there's the slow way. Right? Depending on whether we married. Bito Achi Shema. Right? I'm sure you've all heard of this concept. So perhaps as Machlokas Rashi Ramam really depends on us. If we married it, then we're going to get the fast Beis HaMikdash from Shamayim type of thing. If we don't merit it, it's going to take the slow process of us rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash, which it seems like historically we're going down that derech. So that's another way of maybe saying that Rambam and Rashi weren't arguing, but they're really two paths towards the Geula. Okay. Lamaisa, should we actually start knocking down the mosque and start, you know, hammering and rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash?
Yes.
Basically, I don't know any rabbis who say that we should. Maybe there are some out there. I have no doubt there are those out there who say that. But there are a lot of big guns who say that we should not do that. For example, Rav Soloveitchik, when he was asked about this, said no, straight up, absolutely not. Rav Amital, the Rosh Yeshiva of Gush, said no. If his history has poskened that there's a big mosque there, it means that Hashem is poskening that the time is not ripe yet for us to start doing that. Hashem works through history. And just like Hashem worked through history to get us back to Yerushalayim, similarly, we're not yet ready for the Mashiach. Rav Kook, who definitely wanted the Mashiach, right? Rav Kook told, the Chofetz Chaim told Rav Kook to start studying the laws of the Beis HaMikdash, because we got to start, we're in the Atchal of the Gula, we got to start preparing for the Mashiach. But even Rav Kook said that while we can conquer Yerushalayim, the Beis HaMikdash is something that has to come in a peaceful way. That's something that we can't conquer. It's something that has to be given to us. Just like David HaMelech originally bought the rights to the Beis HaMikdash, so too we need to acquire it lawfully. It has to be a place of peace, because ultimately the whole world is coming and davening to this place, says the prophet Yeshayahu. And therefore, the Beis HaMikdash must come in a way that's not through one of war. So no, according to all these great posts, we should not forcefully force our way into the Beis HaMikdash just yet. Yes?
What do you think of the idea that we're going to build a Beis HaMikdash in a way that coexists with Dome of the Rock? That'll be like, build like a second platform on top, so it'll have like, you know, go to the elevator and it'll be press floor one for Dome of the Rock, floor two for Beis HaMikdash.
I'll be honest, on a personal level, it doesn't love it so much. I don't jive with that so much, I'll be completely honest, but I hear it. And the Rambam says like this: when it comes to these matters, we don't know. The reason that there's so much unclarity is because the prophets are unclear. And because the prophets are unclear, at the end of the day, it's an open matter, and only at the end of the day, when it actually happens, will we know how it's going to happen. So we can throw out ideas, because start arousing our yearning for the Beis HaMikdash, but ultimately, maybe you're right. Maybe that will happen. What do I know? I highly doubt it. But who knows? Anything's possible. You know?
Do people think that coincide with the other?
Perfect. So that I want to end off with that topic. Well, we're going to...
What happens, like, I don't know, if someone just decides to rebuild it, and like... We have it, so it's not like
excellent, excellent. So then, that brings me to actually my second to last. We're going to talk right now about Mashiach and the relationship between Mashiach and Beis HaMikdash. I.e., what comes first, and then finally, I want to talk about Lamaisa. What can we do today? Thank you. In order to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, we don't want to walk away without something practical. All right. So, what's going to come first, Mashiach and then Beis HaMikdash, or Beis HaMikdash and Mashiach? Let's take a vote. All in favor of Mashiach, and then the Mashiach's going to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. Raise your hand. Yosef. Come on. We got three votes for that. All in favor of first Beis HaMikdash, and then the Mashiach's going to come. Raise your hand. All who are not going to take a stand.
I'm going to take a stand, but I don't think it's either one or the other.
What do you
think?
Simultaneously.
I think they're one and the same.
Ooh. Oh. Kaval. Awesome. Okay, so let me tell you some shitas. So the Rambam, again, the Rambam in Hilchos Beis HaBechira is very clear. He writes that first there will be a Mashiach, and one of the primary jobs of the Mashiach is to bring the Beis HaMikdash.
Isn't that like, according to him, the definition of like one of the criteria for the Mashiach is that he has to build the Beis HaMikdash?
Exactly. Indeed, the Rambam believes, how do you know he's the Mashiach? Well, if he's rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash, that's a very good sign that he is the Beis HaMikdash. If he doesn't rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, then it doesn't look like he's a Mashiach, which would be a shaila on some people who have come and claimed to be the Mashiach. According to the Rambam, some holy rabbis and some gods of other religions probably would not be the Mashiach because they didn't rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. So it's a shaila. It's a kasha. Okay? The Rambam believes... Yes, yes, there was. So it's a longer discussion. The Rambam believes the Mashiach's primary job is to build the Beis HaMikdash. The Rambam has a support for something that we say every single day during davening. The Gemara in Megillah says, Daf Yud Zayin, that the order of our tefillah, it tells us the order of how the Mashiach is going to come. So this is a good way to remember this year. So first we have... First, we have the Kappa Shofar, the coming back of the exiles. That's true. The Gemara Megillah doesn't talk about that as part of the order. First, we have all the American Jews come back to Eretz Yisrael, and all the Jews, as well as the Shem, are going to come back to Eretz Yisrael. Then we have the rebuilding of Yerushalayim, Bezrat Hashem, the full rebuilding of Yerushalayim. We're currently witnessing both of those things happening as we speak. Then, after the Yerushalayim Yercha, what's the next bracha, guys? Etzemach Tavin. What does that refer to? The coming of the Mashiach. And then, once the Mashiach comes, what happens?
Ritzeh
Korbanos. So says the Gemara, Bepashtis, according to the Gemara, the Mashiach is going to be the one that brings the Beis HaMikdash back, and that's his job. So it seems like it's first Mashiach, and one of his primary jobs is to bring the Beis HaMikdash, and not the opposite. Yeah.
Is it possible that you'd like start building the Beit HaMikdash, and then but not actually doing anything with it, and then once Mashiach comes, you resume sacrifice and stuff?
Certainly such a thing is possible. And again, the Rambam himself says that the exact order of these things, we don't exactly know. Now, I'll be honest, there's a Gemara in Yerushalmi which argues with this Mahalach. The Yerushalmi implies that the Mashiach is going to dance on the Beit HaMikdash roof. Mashma, that what comes first?
Beit
HaMikdash first.
Not necessarily.
Why? Not necessarily. Why?
Mashiach can come, build the Beit HaMikdash, and then dance on the roof.
It's not like Mashiach's only here for a day.
It's possible. All these things are not clear, which is why there's a lot of speculation about these things. And the Rambam basically says, don't focus too much on these shears. It's not going to bring you to Av and Yir of Hashem. Focus on doing mitzvahs and Torah. But if you want to do a little lunch shear with Rav Keith to talk about the third basic mikdash, fine. But
Rambam gives you a shout out.
I don't know. If you look in the Bible codes, maybe you'll find me there. The Rambam codes. Lemaisa, it's not clear. It's not clear. It could be what Harry's saying. It could be this. It could be that. There are different shitas. But personally, I like the idea that the what do I personally think? I think that that the Mashiach is going to come from a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and that we're going to definitely play a big role in bringing that process. But I'm not exactly sure the details of physically, of spiritually. I don't know what's going to happen exactly. Halakha L'maisa. How do we bring the base of Migdash? So let me give you six ideas. How do we bring the third beat to Migdash? Okay? Idea number one. Start saying Parsha Tatamid. Parsha Tatamid is it's Rosh Chodesh. The Korban Tamid is the what we lay in every Rosh Chodesh. That's what we're talking about. Yeah? Good. You're supposed to say the Korbanos every day. Now, most of us, unfortunately, come a little late for davening, and for some reason we don't say all of Korbanos, but the basic Korban that we should at least, at a very minimal level, that we should say halachically is the Korban Tamid, the continual offering.
Some say it's only the right part of davening.
Gevalt. Some of you do say that. And we should all do tshuva and start saying that. And the Mishnah Berurah writes that we shouldn't just say it, we should learn it. We should understand the meaning of the Korban Tamid. We should open the book of Schwab on prayer as a beautiful explanation of the Korban Tamid. And we should... I heard a beautiful story of this rabbi who was going through really hard times, and it was the Intifada, and he asked his rabbi, what should I start doing to help Am Yisrael? And what did the rabbi say? Start saying the Korban Tamid. Start saying Korbanos. And the Gemara says that when you say Korbanot, it's like you're actually bringing a sacrifice, and your sins are actually being atoned for. So that one act of bringing the Korbanot, of saying the Korbanot, is like we're bringing the Korbanot, and it will connect us to the Avoda of the Beis HaMikdash. Now, in addition to saying the Korbanot, there's learning about the Korbanot, learning Ezeu Mikaman, learning, I don't know, learning whatever Sefer you can in order to learn about the Inyanei of Beis HaMikdash, go to Machon Mikdash, start learning about the Kelim of the Beit HaMikdash. By doing that, we are arousing a yearning for the Beis HaMikdash, and we're showing Hashem that we're ready to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. And by doing that, we will be bringing the Beit HaMikdash closer. Okay, so say Korbanot Tamid and learn of the Inyanim of the Beis HaMikdash. He's in the Yeshiva Ateret Kohanim, which is studying the laws of Beit HaMikdash. There's Machon Mikdash, which is studying all the laws of the Beit HaMikdash in order to wake up Am Yisrael, to start realizing that it's coming soon, and we need to start arousing a yearning for these things. If you want to understand the spiritual meaning behind these things, Rabbi David Foreman has a number of awesome Parsha videos. In this week's Parsha, he has a fantastic four videos all about the spiritual significance of the Kelim of the Beis HaMikdash, and it's a good start to get you yearning for these things. All right, what else can we do to start rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash? There's a fantastic sefer called Bilvavi Mishkan Efne. It's a great Musar sefer. It's about how to take the Shechina and put it into our souls, how to make space for HaKadosh Baruch Hu in our life. Start learning that sefer. Right? Even if we can't physically build the Beis HaMikdash by creating a space for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're creating space for the Beis HaMikdash. Idea number four, the Gemara in Yuma, Daf Tes, says, why was the Beis HaMikdash destroyed? Because of what? Aveira? Sinas Chinam. The Gemara says that any door that doesn't rebuild the Beis HaMikdash is culpable for rebuilding, for destroying the Beis HaMikdash. So it's our responsibility to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash and to get rid of hatred. Sinat Chinam. Now if you ask me, what's Sinat Chinam? All Sinah. all anger, because all anger is bechinam, is stupid, is silly, is unnecessary. Because if a person is truly in a state of emunah, then he truly knows that everything is from a kadosh baruch hu, and therefore there is no reason to be angry at another person or to be angry at God. There's no reason for that emotion to be dwelling upon. There's, of course, it will come into our consciousness, but to dwell upon that is unnecessary, and we need to train our brain to get rid of that sinah for other people and for Hashem. The way to do that, if you ask me, is by learning a lot of Amuna, by reading, by taking our Amuna pills and learning Amuna Sfarim. And if you guys want, I'm happy to recommend a lot of Amuna dailies and all sorts of things to get rid of the anger from our hearts and start living a more loving existence. So those are all spiritual ways to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. Finally, I will say, on a practical, political level, we should do as much as we can to start preparing the political and physical way so that the third Beis HaMikdash can actually happen. I'm not going to get into politics as to which party you should vote for and blah, 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 but certainly coming to Eretz Yisrael and voting and making Aliyah and, you know, I don't know. I don't want to get into details. Everyone can make their own decisions in terms of politics, but doing their hishtadlus to show HaKadosh Baruch Hu that this isn't just something that we daven for, but also something that we're physically trying to make a reality. Just like Yerushalayim, right? It didn't happen until David HaMelech searched it out. You know, there have been hundreds of years where nothing happened, and then David HaMelech actually did some physical actions. He also yearned for it and also did physical actions, and then we got back Yerushalayim. So too, you know, now that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has gotten us so close, we're almost at the finish line of world history, all we got to do is give that last push spiritually and physically, and Bezrat Hashem, we will be zocheh to see it soon. Just to end off, the last thing that we say three times a day, every single Shmon Esrei, what's the last tefillah that we say?
Yotzon.
Yotzon ofenacha, Hashem Elokeinu Gavadeinu, Sheibane Beit HaMikdash, Amhera Beyamenu. Every single day, we daven for the Beis HaMikdash three times a day. Clearly, this is not something that shouldn't be in our consciousness. It should be something that we should be thinking about. Certainly, in this week's parsha, V'asu li mikdash v'shechanti petocham, it's a beautiful day, Rosh Chodesh Adar, to start being makabala upon ourselves, to really start learning about what the Beis HaMikdash means to us, and really start davening for it to come down, for there to be peace, for there to be love, for there to be a world of Shechina. Bezrat Hashem. Shkayach, guys.